place without you.
This was like 6 seconds.
You got to run. You got to keep going.
So long as
you got to do it.
You want to go, you stick to the
chair. Even if you want to run,
you need it. You got to raise a couple, 200,000 to
300,000. Marty, please.
Can you ask him this? Marty, hey, can you help me, please?
Have you had any meeting scheduled with Ken?
Okay, we're going to call to order.
No, I gotta do that today.
Would you try to...
That's okay.
Are you joining the committee?
Okay, do you mind?
Right. No. I
don't know whether she's going to join as the committee member or not, but she's just...
Okay. I want you to join as a member.
Ken knows that she was here and arranged a meeting for Sheila.
Good. Okay, we're opening the meeting of the Legislation Committee for Tuesday, July 6th. It's 9:45, and we are joined by Legislators Burton, Ryan, Burroughs, Misano, and Harkham, and we are joined by our newest member, Sheila Marcotte. Welcome,
thank
Sheila.
You.
Thank you for coming to this meeting. Hopefully you can join this committee. We are hopefully a very active committee. We have two items on the agenda, and I have one information item at the end. We were joined by Legislator Rogowski, but I guess he's back. Legislator Rogowski is now back.
There he is.
First item I want to dispose of quickly, and that is a correction to a typographical error in section 700.21. Let me just get the right section where the error is. 700.21C.
Is there an extra package around that we can give to Sheila?
Yeah.
You could take Tom's.
Hold on, I think we have another one.
He should be here in about an hour and a half. For the first time.
I just want to focus people on this so they understand the typographical error. If you section...
Where is this, of the local law?
Yeah, 700.21 capital C, 1A, 4 little I, B, says that as the exemption for a single family house to not fall under the Fair Housing Law, to be exempt from the requirements, talks about as long as it's sold or rented without the publication of an advertisement or written notice in violation of 700.22A5, that should be 700.21A5 and A6.
Oh, we stole this thing and he shows up.
And just so you're clear, there was some thought that you can't get this exemption if you sell a single family house by any advertisement. That's not true. You can advertise. Tom's not listening. He's the one that was under this false impression.
No, that was my fault.
700.21.
What are you talking about?
We're talking about the correction to the Fair Housing Law. 700.21. You got to get this right. C1A4B. It's the exemption for single family home sales. And it says you don't get the exemption if you advertise in violation of 722A5 and 6. It should be 721A5 and 6. It's a typographical error. You can still advertise and fall within the exemption. You can't have an advertisement that violates 722A5 and 6, which basically says you can't have an advertisement that says, you know, no blacks, Hispanic. You can't have a discriminatory advertisement. So all this does, this proposed change, is correct that error.
So you can advertise, A5 and 6. It'll be exempt. Single family house.
You can advertise, it'll be exempt.
It's just a mistake in the law.
Right. It was a typographical error, but everyone should understand what the error
is. So is that before us now?
Yeah.
So moved.
Second.
It's Tom's law.
Tom had raised questions about single family homes and advertising.
No, he just raised that. We found this when you raised the issue of what
I'm
the
exemption. Glad to see I'm helping to improve the law.
And we found that there was that typographical error.
Right, but the county attorney's office said that when you advertise, you're exempted from the law. Did you ever take a look at the memo I got from the county attorney's office?
No.
You found an error.
You're exempted. No, if you advertise...
The issue is that you are exempted from the requirements of the law.
Right.
only when you do not advertise at all.
That's
a wrong interpretation.
That's a wrong statement of the law. The law allows you to advertise, but you can't advertise in violation.
It allows you to advertise, but you are then covered by the requirement.
That's what I'm trying to explain to you, but you know you're not listening. 722A5, okay. Let me get the right number. The reference should be 721A5 and 6. It says you can't list the advertisements that are in violation of the law. You can't advertise in violation of the law. Okay? 721A5 and 6, it says that, you know, you can't declare, print, publish, or circulate a cause to be made, a notice, statement, advertisement, blah, 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 which expresses or indicates directly or indirectly any preference, limitation, specification, or discrimination as to a person or group of persons' actual or perceived identity. So you can't have a discriminatory advertisement. You can't advertise. You could say apartment for rent, house for sale.
Are you then covered by the law?
You're exempt. It's still exempt. If it's a single family house.
Up until 3?
Yeah.
Okay.
2 or 3? 3.
So three. This just corrects the mistake of referring to 722 instead of 700.21.
It's just a technical.
I have a problem with the technical. I'm not sure I agree with the other interpretation. That's not for now. I will second the technical amendment.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right. Now to more interesting. Oh, the one thing, Marty, I don't know who did this memo, but the committee's memo on this correction really doesn't adequately explain why we're making the correction needs to be made. It just talks about the exemption, but doesn't indicate what the state is. Can you have them please expand on that? Well, the committee report.
Okay.
All right, now.
We just don't need somebody that.
Eminent domain, the topic of the morning. All right. We start out with, we have a redraft of the law that, well, let Mr. Abinanti explain rather than try to put words in his mouth. The changes that were made from last week. Would you like
right,
to
I'm seeing them for the were? First time. But
you made the changes and you're seeing them for the first time?
Yes.
So you didn't make the changes?
No, we made a series of proposed changes.
Right.
And on Friday, we had a memo from the county attorney's office saying they wouldn't do it. Or Thursday.
All right.
And then, so I spoke with the county attorney's office saying that this board has determined, or this committee has determined, they want legislation. And that we've already resolved the issue of whether, you know, their issue of whether it conflicts with the state. It's up to us to make that determination. And some judge in the future might have a different...
But there have been changes made since the last draft. The draft I now have that was given to us this weekend.
This morning. This was given to us this morning. What you had on Friday was my staff's change.
All right, so whose change is this?
This is now the county attorney's change.
Thank you.
But I'm seeing it for the first time.
So would you like to explain what changes were made?
Yes. Very, very simply, we were asked to put the legislation in final form. So the only change that you'll see from the last draft that was provided to the county attorney, which was dated June 28th, the only change that's made is in the effective date of the legislation. If everybody turns to the last page of the legislation, the effective date recognizes the fact that the legislation must be, is subject to a referendum,
right,
and must be approved by referendum.
That's the only change.
No, there's some other.
Also, there are two resolutions following. One to indicate that it has to be sent for a resolution for a referendum. If you look at the very end of the package,
right,
there are two resolutions. One provided for the submission of a proposition at the general election to be held on November 2nd. And on the following page, there's another resolution provided for publication of county, local, interest, so forth, and so on.
Mr. Chairman, there are some other changes.
There are some other changes.
That were made pursuant to this committee's request. Joanne, do you know what they were?
What sections?
Well, I'll tell you what one of them was.
We added the educational.
You added the section 644.03C, permitted use, adds the concept of a civic purpose.
That's Joe. I think, is that your language?
It's C4 to you. Yeah. That's new.
I think that's Joanne's language. I guess the county attorney's office approved it. Which one?
Joanne, why don't you sit up here and tell us what the changes are, since you appear to be the most knowledgeable person
she did them.
In the room.
She did them.
No, no.
No, that's fine. No, no. That's
cold.
She did the first draft.
At the last meeting, the conversation was around some of the concerns about the limitations on the eminent domain law. So, in accordance with those conversations, one section was eliminated that was in regard to the private
cause of action.
And then the law was changed to include the opportunity to use eminent domain for civic uses. So in legislative intent, it's now included in that first sentence, as well as public and civic uses is included there. In permitted uses in the definition section 644.03C, we now have number 4 as an additional permitted use, which is the civic use, and that's taken from the unconsolidated laws as identified.
Right, you took that definition directly from state law.
Correct. And after looking at the most recent case that came down on Columbia.
The Columbia University case, right.
So that was the definition came directly from the law. Additionally, and as I said, the enforcement section was changed to remove the individual cause of action.
So those were the changes made since last week.
Correct.
Now, we also received on July 2nd, Friday, the county attorney's updated memorandum regarding this legislation, which we need to discuss. Does anybody want to comment before we discuss the memorandum on this? Or you?
Yes, yep. Mr. Burke. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Right before section 4, or number 4, and that's 644.03C, 4, right before that you use the locution and slash 4. If you usually and slash 4 means if you read it as and, all three of them preceding must be included. And if you use or, it means any one of the four can be used. Right. Do you really mean to do and or should it be or?
I think it should be or. I don't think it should be and or.
So can we strike the and slash?
I think you're right.
I think you want to make sure that all of these are included in permitted use. We're not trying to exclude
but
any.
But you're not saying that the only way
that it has to be
all four of them. It's just any one.
Correct.
Has to satisfy one criteria.
Correct.
So disjunctive, it should be just or.
Okay.
Right. So if we strike the and slash.
Fine.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anything else before we turn to the county attorney's memorandum?
Mr. Chairman, I've missed some of the meetings, but I'm willing to move forward the discussion at some point. We're going to come back and discuss other issues.
Yes, we're going to discuss the memorandum, then we'll come back for general discussion.
And just let me make one more comment. The other change that was discussed at the last meeting that was included is in the last sentence of 64.03C, solely was added.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
That was the only other item that was changed.
The word solely. Okay, now we have the memorandum of July 2nd, which goes through each section by section. And so let's open that up for discussion if everybody's read it. I read it. It has a general opinion that we're preempted from passing this law insofar as it defines permitted and prohibited use. And I have to say, I'll just express my view. I read all the cases. I disagree with the opinion. I don't think that we are preempted from passing a law that specifies the criteria we will use to employ eminent domain. I see the eminent domain procedure law as setting forth a procedure, and I see what we're doing here is setting forth a precursor to the procedure before you invoke the procedure. And I don't think the cases that I've read preempt us from doing that, but that's a personal view.
Can I just comment on that?
And I don't know if anybody else agrees or disagrees.
I agree with you, and I think the one section that could have been seen as conflicting with the state law, which was the right of private action, was taken out.
That definitely, I think that would have created a
Well, but I think that's the one area where you could have had some question.
And the other issue
that's
raised is the definition of government, which I agree should be narrowed. I agree with the county attorney's opinion should be narrowed.
Definition of government.
From page 3 of the memo.
Yeah.
The latest memo.
Because basically it defines to say that the way it's written, an individual member of the legislature has the power of eminent domain, and it's too broad a definition.
Too much of a definition of what?
If you look at the first, look at the first paragraph under issues on page 3. I think that's correct.
First, the manner in which it was utilized, which there's not consistent with what I can define.
No, that's logical to me too, John. And the only thing I would point out is I appreciate the county attorneys giving us this background. You know, they've had this law for 6 years. I'm glad we're getting it the last week. We're about to vote on it. I got to be honest with you. I mean, we could have used this help 6 years ago when the original draft of this law came down.
Yeah, but in all honesty, we've got a new county attorney at this point in time. So,
but the point is, neither county attorney has given us this help until the day where we're going to have a deadline to take a vote. So I don't think I agree with that, Gordon. There's two county attorneys over 6 years have had this law. Tom and I have been asking for this kind of input from both county attorneys for 6 years, and we didn't get it until today.
All right, let's back up. So how will we change the definition of Westchester County government? Do we cut it off, Marty, do we delete the phrase that says including the county executive and each of the members of the Board of Legislators? Is that where we should cut it off?
Well, no, Mr. Chairman, if I can, you want to make sure that the county executive doesn't somehow encourage or do the eminent domain without us. That's why it's that broad. Basically, what it's saying is that no member of the legislature or county executive, I mean, look at where the prohibitions are.
Yeah, but it says all persons acting under its auspices or exercising its power.
Okay. Oh, that's why it says, including the county executive.
It doesn't have to say that.
Well, we said we want to be clear that it applies to the county executive.
Why, what do you think? Is
I was just thinking if you end that definition by the words and the Board of Legislators as opposed to and all or each of the
that's
members
fine.
Of the Board of Legislators.
That's fine.
Okay, so we strike or each of the members.
All or each.
Yeah, I agree.
Or all of these, so we say, and all of the Board of and the Board
and
of Legislators.
Board
so we
and
strike
board
or
legislators.
Each of the members of.
I'm sorry.
Including the county executive
with each, or you start
and the Board of Legislators.
With all.
All or each of the members of a struck. Struck.
Start with all.
Yeah, start with all. I'm sorry, you're right.
So all of the members of
right.
is now struck.
Right, right.
Yes.
Stricken, right. Stricken.
So it'll read, including the county executive and the Board of Legislators.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
It seems to me, you know, I guess we are the legislation committee, so we'll get technical here. I have to assume over the last 350 years, you know, Westchester County government has been defined in the real world. Once we start, you know, we're sort of all of its department agencies, you know, including the county executive board of legislators. So are we, you know, there's a message that someone, are we talking about, and the IDA now is a state agency, so it's not the IDA, but it's the Department of Planning acting on its own. I mean, you know, from a legislative, you know, very strict reading, every word has meanings. What do we mean other than the county executive and the Board of Legislators? I mean, who else is there? Just this, you know, agencies, instrumentalities. I mean, unless we're prepared to lay out the intent behind that, you may know something. I mean, what's an instrumentality than the county executive board that somehow would not be covered by Westchester County. I mean, I think there's extra words unless there's a real, because someone's going to, what's the real reason for these extra words?
What we're trying to say is the planning department cannot assist without a vote of the Board of Legislators in a project which may never come to us otherwise.
So would someone define somewhere along the line the planning department acting that's not Westchester County government?
No, it is. That's the whole point. We're trying to make sure it is.
Well, once you start going down, maybe there's not an agency in instrumentality. There's something else that we've left out. Either we want to be able to say Westchester County government. We're done. Once you start,
you don't defining want somebody in the
what are there some
you don't want somebody in the planning
advisory,
department
some advisory task force airport somewhere that assists the airport advisory board gives assistance somewhere.
I think you're trying to say
we left out advisory
definition in the charter.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But is this it just seems to me, Westchester County government, as defined in the charter, if it is in the charter, okay, why are we, that's my point.
Because,
why are we
because one of the concepts of a freestanding law is to make it clear to the people who are reading it so they don't have to go charter, etc.
How about our citizens advisory, budget advisory, gives some assistance to the Scarsdale to do something? Are they going to be covered?
That's not an official act.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just trying, once you start going down the road, what are we left out? I just, for me, listen, it's not a big deal. You argue, when you draft something, it just should be.
I think the message we're trying to send is that the government, that the decisions of the government before there's any assistance given has to come to the Board of Legislators, and the Board of Legislators has to approve it. That's what we're saying here. Otherwise, because you have all kinds of circumstances where there are free agents out there, where the county executive lets one of his departments go do something, and then before you know it, there's a whole project. And we look at this and say, wait a minute, you spent how much staff time and how many hours and whatever.
That is the Westchester County government.
Right, that's simple and clear.
To Marty's point, it's all Westchester County.
So how does it hurt then to say that this is all the government?
Because then you're
it's like an insurance policy. Once you start listing all the specific risks, you're going to leave something out.
We have a question from the chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just on this particular point on the department. Is it the way that the law is set right now? Every project goes through the county planning department. So, I mean, every local municipality's project goes through the planning department. Why would we say if that local municipality decided it was going to utilize eminent domain in its particular function, that we would say, oh, well, we can't help you do that? I mean, we're not going to help them do that. That's something local that they're doing. I'm confused on why we would say that, especially given, Mr. Chairman, I know that one of the things that you're considering is trying to make that planning process stronger, as we know that all the municipalities in Westchester link up. A project that's being done in the northern part of the county impacts our folks with flooding down in Larchmont and Mamaroneck and New Rochelle, et cetera. So I know that we were considering that. That's not in this particular piece of legislation, but I'm just concerned about that level of constraint. I believe that the law is saying that we would not, the county, through this process, through the Board of Legislators, would not approve a project or would not, even look at a project for eminent domain for a county plan is one item. But to constrain our planning department to provide the regional services that it gives doesn't seem to be consistent with our support for regional
government. Wait, Legislator Burton next, and then
okay.
I'm not doing it myself.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree. We cannot, it seems to me, foreclose a process which exists now because a municipality has chosen to consider, whether it's made a commitment yet, but to consider the possibility of participating in some form of eminent domain, which may or may not ultimately wind up to the prohibited point of economic development, which I still don't agree with. But it seems to me that we're actually rolling back the value of county government under this particular section. I can't see the value of it. I in fact see that it's a negative thing for the value of county government to local governments. And therefore, I think we ought to take this out.
Take what? We'll say this.
The definition.
Yeah, but I can just clarify to Bill's point and to Kenny's point.
All right.
That's a sub. I was trying to focus on the definition. It's an excellent point that Bill and Kenny have made, but that goes to the substance of what actions are covered, county money. Through a plan, if $10 of a planning department staff time is used to look at an offsetting project, is that covered under your law? That's a subject question.
I
was only raising a definitional issue before we get
to. Can I just do a point of information here?
Just on the definition.
Just as the purposes of like a point of information here. I think this debate we're having is a little bit esoteric, and not that it wasn't good that you raised it, Marty, but let me remind you why D is in here, right? 6 years ago, Tom and I wrote this law ourselves. Then the county attorney refused to help us draft this law. So when we wrote the word Westchester County Government in the next section, we decided to define it. That's why this is there. This doesn't have to be there. This isn't that big of a thing. Right. And if it's a problem, we can take it right out. But this is only in here because we got no help, not from this current county attorney, but from the prior county, for years when we were asking, will you sit down and help us with the county lingo on this law? They refused to help us. So Tom and I did this ourselves. So this isn't some this definition didn't have that big intent here to do something. It's there because in the law itself it says Westchester County government, so we defined it somewhere else. This doesn't have to be there.
Let me just follow up on that. The prohibition says Westchester County government is hereby prohibited. I just don't want to see a circumstance where the county executive takes some money from a fund, it may be pass-through monies, which he has the authority to sign off on and then pass it through and never come to us and use those monies. Now, he could come back and say, but I'm not the Westchester County government. I am only a piece of it, and the government is only when the two branches together work together. So what we're trying to make sure of is that there's not an opportunity, whatever that might be, for someone like the county executive to bypass the intent of the law by funneling some money that he might have the right to do. It might be a grant. There might be some grant monies. I mean, think about how we act. What comes to us is only things that require approvals. So there are lots of things that he does, A and C. A and C, for example, will do a lot of things that never come here.
Mr. Chairman, we can short
circuit. How do you
strike it, Tom?
The definition, if you're saying the county exec acts, he can somehow define himself as not within the language of Westchester County government. I mean, I would turn to the county attorney. Is that true? I mean, it's hard to believe that he can act and he's not the Westchester County government.
I think it would be difficult for the county.
I think you just need to say.
So, Tommy, going down this whole road.
I think we should strike this paragraph. That's my proposal, Tom. I understand your point. I think we should strike it.
But if you strike the paragraph, every place that says Westchester County government, you should substitute the county of Westchester.
The county of Westchester?
Yeah, you have to put something in there. You just can't use Westchester County government because that term is not defined in the charter at all. There's no definition of Westchester County.
Is there a definition of county of Westchester?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
It's called the County of Westchester in the charter, not the county government?
Yes. The County of Westchester.
That's fine.
The County of Westchester may adopt Article 26(3) the following form of government, and then we do.
Let's go hang it.
And what does it
the
say?
The legislative then? Body of Westchester County shall be known as the County Board.
You sure you don't want to stay here?
Yeah. That's very interesting.
So we substitute the words County of Westchester everywhere it says county government.
So strike D.
Now, the other issue I have.
But it is understood that nobody can act individually on behalf of the county.
Right. Because they're included in County of Westchester.
Right. Now, the question is.
What do you think?
It's a big understanding. We don't have a great track record the last 14 years of people around here understanding that they don't unilaterally, they're just permitted to unilaterally go off and do the stuff they want to do. We've got we have many, many examples where long after the fact, we have people coming back here saying, oh, well, all right, well, maybe we should have run it past you first.
That's a different issue. It's a question.
Well, but the thing
county government is still running, so
going forward, I think there needs to be an understanding that if we're talking about this substantial power, that there be people who are kind of part of the picture in a support capacity. And then there are the decision part of the County of Westchester that decides whether we go down the road or whether we do not go down the road. Mm-hmm. See, I don't want to be sitting here as an elected member of the board, part of the legislative branch of government, and then finding out at some point that some department or office within county government has taken us down a road where we're saying 6 months later, who authorized them to do this? We didn't know about this. Who authorized them to do this?
That was the intent of putting the definition.
But then they do it anyway. I mean, the definition doesn't stop them from doing it. So you need something more.
But then we're able to go back and say, right here.
I think this question Bill raises a great point, but it's kind of like a bigger picture for everything we do in the county government.
Right. Yeah.
It's not just this law. I mean, it's everything
that's
we
right.
do.
Right. That's so more of an internal.
Someone raised an issue earlier, but if you look at page 644.04(b)(1). You know, what if the planning department is helping a municipality that's exercising eminent domain but not using any accounting?
Well, that's okay, because we're not...
Well, we have other support, and, you know...
Salary of the staff person.
I think the purpose of this is to stop... If you want to prevent county funds from being...
I agree.
So right, I question that's the whether big picture.
I agree.
Support should
and
be.
Ultimately, yes. We have the final say.
So, John, just for the purposes of that last amendment that you offered that I agree with, there are six places where it says Westchester County government that we would change it, the words Westchester County government to the County of Westchester.
Seven.
You have seven?
Seven.
Okay, so I missed one. So we have seven of them.
645A2.
Where are you now?
645. 64405A, number 2.
Got that one. Okay. And then I had 5 in 644.04.
Okay, did
you paragraph 1, 2, B, 1, and 2. There's another one?
And the preface in A along at the top.
I see it. Good. There's the other one.
In enforcement also, Jim. What is that?
Because
you feed by a seventh, you missed one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got it.
And in 644.05, enforcement, it says the county of Westchester government as defined herein. So you just want to substitute the county of Westchester.
And strike everything after is defined herein.
No, the rest of that stays in.
Okay.
But the words as defined herein come out.
Okay.
Where's that?
Under enforcement. That's just another.
Okay.
Okay, then, and then there's two places where there's the words or other support in 644.04B, and then B1.
Right. In fact, it seems to me that we almost have a double negative in B, and then 1, and then B, 1, 2. I'm just trying to puzzle my way through this.
There's other supports in B2 also.
B says you may not... Did you read the article? May not contribute money except as follows. And then proceeds to state that it's prohibited.
Yeah.
I think what you're trying to say...
Well, the next one is okay. The 2 is okay because it's only upon a two-thirds vote, so that's clear. But one is, yeah, the question is, should one be a standalone section?
Well, it should say prohibited, or because you're already saying that it's prohibited.
What's the other question? May not use its powers of eminent domain.
Well, don't you want to say only upon a vote of two-thirds, except upon a vote of two-thirds? Okay. Don't you want to provide the same thing in one, B1, as you do in B2?
B1 is your major point.
Yeah,
B1 is your major. B1 is a major prohibition.
Right. And I just, it seems to me that it's somehow a double negative.
Yeah.
I just can't get my mind around this because it seems to run circularly.
I think you drafted B, then B1, and this sort of go together.
Yeah, I don't know if you even need B1.
Well, it's, I mean, B and B1 are very similar.
Yeah, I don't know if you need B1. You need B2 because that's the exception. Except as follows, two-thirds vote.
B1
and B and B1 say the same thing.
County government may not contribute monies.
That's a good point, right?
From any project.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I have a question on the substance of it, but
you and I are going to tag team.
All right, so
that uses eminent domain.
Let's give him a second to think about that.
Or is it beneficial to take the private property for profit?
It sort of repeats them.
We're going to just work through the issues raised in the county.
Well, no, but it has the language to take the property for a prohibited use. All right, it doesn't matter. I think you're right. So you can get rid of B1 and just put except.
And then renumber 2 as 1?
Yeah.
Well, you don't even have to number it.
We could do it as 3. Good call. Except that. And then run that right down.
Right.
Yeah, see, whenever the county is involved, it needs 2/3. Whenever you want the county to use it, needs 2/3.
Right.
It's either prohibited or you need 2/3. So, it's a drafting issue.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure. You don't need as follows. Except that.
You just strike as follows.
Except
and insert
that. The county
that.
May contribute funds or to a project that uses energy.
The county of Westchester. Right. May contribute funds or
you got the same issue in A. It's just a drafting style. It's almost like A and B are used as titles to the small section consisting of,
correct,
of you know, one and two in each case. C doesn't do that, but
I think it's okay.
But A and B are almost like titles to what follows. And what follows are in the case of A,
right,
you have A1 and A2, which basically A1 repeats A and B1 repeats B. But it's almost like that was the style.
Yeah,
of
it,
the
was. It was. It was. Just,
well, A1, A and A1's, right, a little different because A1 deals with the definition. We can never do it for a prohibited use, and we can only do it for 2/3 for a permitted use.
Correct. Yeah, I see that.
Well, I think we were trying to say the same thing in B1 and B2. But you can never do it for prohibited use.
It could have been combined where, right, the A's and the 1's and 2's weren't necessary. You could have combined under 644.104 and gotten all of it in two.
Yeah, plus, actually, B1 does say the prohibited use. That is the difference. That is the difference, Bill, I think. Bill Burton.
Yep.
So maybe we leave it in.
Well, let's move it. It just seems to me there's a lot of words that aren't necessary, and where, what would you...
You just take out B. Make B1 B. I mean, B1 is the specific,
right,
positive statement. Government's prohibited...
No, but there's two subparts to that. One is we can never use...
For a prohibited,
for a prohibited, for a prohibited use.
And when you can use it...
For a permitted use, that has to be 2/3. Right. So there is two. There, right, are two different...
But you say one and two. You don't
provisions.
But the draft is B. One and two stand as the two issues. You're right, John. It's two, one and two. It's introduced by B, and it's kind of confusing.
So you don't think we need B?
You almost don't need the introduction.
You know, maybe you don't need your introduction. What the introduction should say is, notwithstanding any other provision of law, the Westchester, right, County government's use of the power of eminent domain is governed as follows. Shall be as follows.
That's
what you're correct on. That it shouldn't say may not use its powers. It should say is governed,
is subject to the,
is subject. That's it. There you go.
And then one and two set out two.
Okay. So starting with 644.04A, notwithstanding any other provision of law,
county
of
Westchester.
Westchester's use,
right,
of its powers of eminent domain to condemn private property,
subject to the following.
Is subject to the following.
Do you need to condemn private property?
Yeah, leave that in. It's subject to the... You don't need it, but...
That's why I said, well...
Take out the words.
Use of eminent domain.
Use of eminent domain, okay, is subject to the following.
Which, incidentally, was your first...
County of Westchester's...
Correct.
County of Westchester's use of eminent domain is subject to the following, right?
Right. Then you have one and two. And then B, you're going to have the same thing again. Notwithstanding another provision of law, county of Westchester's... No, it's just the county of Westchester. Yeah, the county of Westchester's use...
Of eminent domain.
No, of any monies.
No, just start with may not on the second line.
No, we want to say of any monies from any source.
Are you dealing with A and B?
Yes.
One
is using eminent domain, the other is using monies.
Monies, right. So
and monies from any source to any project that, for any project.
One is a prohibition, two is an allowance.
Right, you have A and B.
So you've got to keep that other language out of B.
Notwithstanding any provision of law, of other provision of the county of Westchester's use of monies from any source.
Yeah,
use.
There you go.
Of monies from any source.
Any source to any project that uses eminent domain is subject to the following.
Or is the beneficiary of the use of eminent domain.
Yeah,
well, you're going to have...
Is subject,
right,
to the...
You can tighten that further, Tommy. Because you've got that same language in one and two.
Well, yeah, we do, but we intentionally did it. Different, slightly
different. No, what I'm saying is... We're you know, the whole point about eminent domain to condemn private property and the whole discussion about projects that use eminent domain, you've got that same language in 1 and 2 that is a repetition of what now appears in B. So you can tighten B up further.
No, B is slightly differently because we're talking there about monies.
Right. That's my point.
Well, I think we just did. Notwithstanding another provision.
Two is an allowance. all right?
Right.
So you know that you have two different points being made by one and two.
Right.
So John's language is very good up to the point where it's just concerning the use of money is subject to the...
Right, so we have...
resources subject to...
Notwithstanding the other provision of law, the County of Westchester's use of monies from any source...
Right.
Should we say for a project or regarding a project? We like the word to any project.
For.
For any project that uses eminent domain or is the beneficiary of the use of eminent domain is subject to the following.
Okay. And
I think we got
again,
it there.
My only point is you're repeating that exact language again in 1 and 2. See, for example, in 1, from any source of any or other source
I see
of
what
project
you mean.
Uses eminent domain or is the beneficiary of use of... See,
you're right.
You're just repeating the language again.
But I think you want a freestanding statement so that it's clear that some...
All right.
Okay, so I think we have it now. Yes, we put one back in. One is back in. We just amended the language of B, so one is back in.
The next issue...
Well, we're still only paying the $240 an hour.
Right, that's right. That's right. I'm not getting $1,000 an hour.
All right, the next issue on page 3 is the second one, which is the big issue that we need to deal with, and whether the definitions of prohibited use and public use, which basically say, prohibited use and permitted use, are preempted by state law.
I thought we already made the decision.
I don't think it is, but that's my personal opinion in reading the cases.
Well, we had the decision. What we said was that this was not dealing with the process afterwards. This was only the decision-making process that we were going to use to limit what we were going to get involved with. And if we didn't do that, if somebody told us we were preempted, that means that developers have the right to come in and demand a hearing. And they have a right to eminent domain.
It's like pre-proceeding.
Right, yeah, so it's a exactly.
It's a prerequisite. Sure nobody else on the committee has any questions, comments on that point. So let's deal with it.
Just one thing I want to add to what you said, John, as people are ready for their questions. It is my view that there's absolutely nothing in this piece of legislation that modifies any word in the state eminent domain procedure law. It just doesn't. Read the state eminent domain procedure law. Nothing we're doing here amends that language. It's a separate procedure. This is the initial
or
policy
impacts.
Question
or
whether our county is going to get into this or not. But if you look at that's why I disagree with your opinion. I just don't see how it possibly preempts it when it doesn't even deal with any aspect of the eminent domain procedure law.
Right, and let me ask a question, John, that kind of gets that. So,
sure.
So make sure I understand. You're saying, right, it just seems up front, this is sort of a gatekeeper.
Yeah.
Westchester County does not get involved. So a question that I might have, watching what Portchester went through, because the issue that I was concerned about, you have your IKEA, is that the local municipality made a ruling on its blight, which I guess goes to the substance. And it was like 15 years later when they finally got it off the ground. Well, 15 years later, one could have made the argument, it's not blighted anymore.
Right.
But you know, the determination by the local municipality is blighted. Oh, so now that qualifies. But that's a... So I would like to amend that kind of definition. But that's a...
We can't do that.
Right. That's a substantive part of the...
We agree with the county attorney on that. We couldn't get into a question of blight.
So we're not getting into that.
Can't get into that.
Right. So this is just upfront gatekeeper. We're in the game or not in the game.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't do that. Believe me, I would love to have amended that part of the state law.
You know, 50,
we can't.
That's what happened. It was a big problem because now they're saying, well, no, it's not blighted.
I agree with you.
So, okay, but we're not, but that we can't go down that road.
Okay. Any other comments on the second issue in the county attorney's memo? All right, page 4. The third issue has to do with the third issue has to do with, are we overly restricting the ability to help the municipality?
Well, Mr. Chairman,
that first paragraph, you mean?
Yeah, the first paragraph under issues on page 4.
First, the language prescriptions.
Well, Mr. Chairman, coming back to the language we went over, contributing money to any source,
right.
It goes to the issue like... And again, Kenny makes the point, if the municipality wants to do something, they ask the county planning department and its role as a county government, we kind of review our plans. We're going to go off and do this. We'd like your help for patterns or something. And 2 hours of county staff time is used on it. One could argue that's, we're contributing county money, that's staff time, and so the county staff can't get involved. Even though we're not putting any money in,
we're just going to assist through that planning, someone says you can't do that. And that goes to your point. And I would argue that the language says no, no staff, so no county staff can participate.
Well, we took our other support out.
Right.
Well,
yes.
Well, money.
This deals with the issue, I think, Marty, correct me if I'm wrong, is where a municipality may acquire property by eminent domain, right? They've already got it. And then we want to get involved in the use of that property, either rent it for a county office building, and whether we're precluded because it's indirectly supporting eminent domain.
Yeah, that was raised last time by the county attorney. I thought it was a legitimate point. But I thought we corrected it at the last meeting. Now, that's why I was a little surprised to see this language. I thought, actually, you suggested, you or someone from your office, suggested language last time to change this.
Yeah, I wasn't here last
but
time.
But, John, I'm concerned about up front.
Maybe we didn't put that in.
There's a definition of what's indirect, and then, but right. But up front, the municipality is thinking about doing something. Jeez, we've got this county planning department that done patterns 2025. We'd like to get their input. The kind of project we're thinking of doing, we want to get some input from a county perspective. They call it the county, and the question is, monies from the county, does that include staff salary? I mean, you know, very technical, but it's staff time, staff county money through its staff assisting that municipality. Or they can say, no, it's eminent domain.
Well, do you want it to be or don't you want it to be? I don't know.
Well, I would like from that point, well, yeah, I don't like the law, but trying to make the best possible law.
I think we should provide the help.
We provide that. Why not provide
the help? I agree. The goal was, look.
I know, you want to keep us out of it.
The goal was that we didn't want the county government to approve appropriations of monies for one of these projects. You're raising a point that's fair, and that if that just needs to be clarified to address that point, I'm fine with that.
Well, that's why we took support out.
Other than taking out our other
support. It's a question of county money, you know, monies. It's just someone will say.
How do you?
Well, that's usually it's you know, staff time.
Well, and the other broad language in there is in any way contribute. I think maybe the in any way.
Well, I think what you're trying to do here is you don't want a subterfuge. You don't want to say, okay, look, we're not going to be involved, but you know what? You do it, we'll rent it from you immediately.
But Tom, you're trying to get to all of your worst case scenarios. That's fine. But in the draft, in the worst case scenario, you're preventing.
Why don't we say rather stuff? Why don't we say rather than appropriate? I'm just throwing this out there. Maybe I need feedback on this. I'm just off the top of my head. Rather than yours contribute, appropriate. So you're appropriating money. You're approving money, spending of money.
No, because you don't want the county executive to be able to take a funding stream that might be usable for something else and direct it to a project that's using eminent domain. That's the whole idea. What you're trying to say here is, and that's unless you think that's okay, that's covered elsewhere. But there could be a funding stream that comes from somewhere.
If I may, though, to Marty's point, the big picture here and Jim's point, the big picture is we don't want our bond funding essentially going to this.
Yes.
But one of the values of county, and I agree with this law, but one of the values of county government is as a regional government, we have tools. Sam Weir and his GIS folks, you know, somebody comes to them and says, look, we're talking about doing a redevelopment project in our waterfront. You know, can you spit us out some maps? I don't think we want to stop that from happening. Ultimately, we're the gatekeepers of the big money and the bonds, and that's the intent of your law.
I think we took out support for that reason.
And to Marty's point, if we keep getting, you know, bogged down in this minutia, the more minutia we put in, the more exemptions people are going to find later on. They're going to say, well, you didn't put this in the law.
I totally agree with Peter.
And ultimately, our point is to be the gatekeepers of the big money, and that's where I think we should focus our efforts and our language.
Yes. Tom, I think that too. As your co-author, I agree with Peter exactly.
All right, so how do you change the language?
Appropriating instead of contributing.
Does that distinction to the county attorney's office making that change from contributing to appropriating?
And it would be helpful to have some committee language that specifically says staff, you know, staff time, GIS, you know, just staff assistance.
Because to Bill's point, that's what we do. That's what we do,
Jim,
and we do
right.
Well.
So the committee
Jim, right.
Say that's
what
okay. I'm just kind of.
What do you think, Marty? Appropriating, is that a term of art?
Well, contribute had been taken out, if I'm not mistaken, from B, 644.04B, and use of monies was substituted in its place.
Yes.
So, but I'm not sure that the beneficiary of the use of eminent domain is the language that really would be the key there in terms of what the county attorney was saying the issue was with respect to, you know, there are three examples cited in the memo that could possibly be precluded, and I think that's the language we're trying to address. If you look at just the last one.
Prevent funding for municipal property where the property involved may have previously been taken in eminent domain for prohibited use, for example, would prevent housing implementation fund assistance if the property concerned was previously taken for prohibited use broad enough to preclude the county from ever funding the rental of office space for use of a county program in a commercial office building that was erected on real property.
Well, I think you're talking about, what you're trying to say is the current.
Contributing to a not-for-profit organization that is a tenant in a location that had been required by eminent domain. That's why this, in any way, is very broad.
I agree. That's fine.
Should we say appropriating, though?
Do you want to say is the current beneficiary? You want to use the word appropriate? That's fine.
I mean, the issue raised by the county attorney about going back to projects that happened 5 years ago, I mean, that's a legitimate point. I don't think we were intending to cover that, so let's fix it.
It was my notation.
Well, John, could I just put a question on the table for the committee?
I just suggested it.
Any of the language that we craft here, is this going to kind of chill the process that, you know, we watched work fairly well in Westchester, and that's one where a locality with, volunteers who sit on planning boards, who don't have a lot of expertise within their city or town hall, referring projects to the county for their study and recommendation, where we get the benefit of county planning's considerable analysis that talks to planning guidelines and best practices as they refer, the project back with their recommendations back to the locality. If part of the plan at the local level happened to be to acquire property for part of the project through the power of eminent domain, would we in fact be precluded from getting involved with the analysis of the project? And it would follow that perhaps the county planning department's knowledge and expertise wouldn't benefit the community in other ways. I mean, certainly all of us have read, the recommendations of county planning when they go back to a community that talk about all types of interesting but important considerations, not the least of which are things like impact on adjoining properties and stormwater runoff and all this,
It wasn't meant to, is the answer to your question.
Right.
This law is not meant to do that.
And so, if county planning was to receive something and someone was to note downstairs that, oh, by the way, a third of this, in the assembly of these parcels, one third of this project would happen if they move forward and exercise the power of eminent domain to acquire, say, the piece in the northwest corner.
Right.
Would we all of a sudden stop? Would they all of a sudden stop and say, we can't be part of this?
No, I think that's why we took out support.
That's why, back to Peter's point.
And the use of the word appropriation.
This is really only, we want to deal with direct appropriations of money for the project.
Right.
I would say,
I think we better limit it to that.
Yeah. I would say that would be a smart idea on our part.
Yeah, I agree.
And anything that goes further and has a chilling effect on our planning department's ability to put back into the hands of the locals some real good analysis.
I agree.
We should.
That was the goal. That was what Peter said.
That's why we took out, and that's why we're changing to appropriation, and we took out other support. So that language should cover it.
Yeah, I think so too.
All right, so we're gonna take out in B1 and 2. We're gonna take out the words. We took out the words or other support. We're gonna take out the words in any way, and we're gonna substitute appropriating for contributing, right?
Yeah, or contribute appropriate, right.
Appropriating in one and appropriate in two.
Yes. Now the next point they raise is
point being what?
The next point they raise is the exclusion relating to affordable housing.
Right.
The C.
It's an exemption from the law, really.
The thing I think we might want to discuss for a minute is why we're having a two-thirds vote of the legislature for this exemption. Shouldn't this exemption just be? Why is the board voting on the exemption?
Because otherwise you're going to have the county executive say it doesn't apply, and then you'd never have a chance.
Why have a two-thirds vote?
Yeah, I mean, for exempting affordable housing, we're exempting affordable housing.
Yeah, but it's the board of legislators that has to determine that it's
why?
Affordable housing and an exemption.
But we decided in passing the settlement stipulation, we passed parallel legislation that said any funds expended by the county had to be by a two-thirds vote. So we have that in there.
Exactly. So that's why I'm thinking we should just make this paragraph an exemption. I don't want to screw with the affordable housing settlement in any way with this law.
You think so, this does? It's not intended to. It was intended to exempt it.
Yeah, but by making us take a vote...
If it even leaves the door open...
Leaves open the door of us taking a vote, why are we doing that?
Because we have the protection of the two-thirds vote anyhow.
Yes, that's what I think.
Okay.
Yeah, but if it's outside the housing settlement, what happens? What if it's a project in a community that's not...
It would still need two-thirds vote to pass.
I would take the last clause, starting with the word, by the vote of two-thirds, blah, 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 out. And just making a clear exemption in the law... So there's no possible way someone could bring an action saying this violates the settlement agreement. Doesn't make any sense to even leave a door open to that.
Then you should change the word "may be exempted" to "is exempt."
Yes. We have "may be exempted." It should be "is exempt."
And then strike by the vote. Okay.
Yeah.
We're getting down. There's two more issues left.
So you're just going to say to the foregoing prohibitions, period, and take everything else out.
We're going up to the word "domain."
No, just what, on the foregoing prohibitions.
Oh, you're in a different paragraph than me right now.
No, see.
Why do we have a different law?
I don't know.
You know, Tom and I are reading a different law.
Cool. What page? You're reading 1-7.
He's working off the county attorney's memo.
I thought I was, too.
I'm working off the grant
of the law.
It has the changes Joanne made.
I have it. You know, I'm using something different. Which one are you using, Brian? You're using the one in the back of their opinion.
Right.
Which has been condensed. That's probably the only difference.
Is it any different than the...
It's been condensed. Okay, yeah.
It's the same one.
All right, never mind, folks. We're the same.
There's a revised 7610.
Yeah, I mean, we're the same.
Right.
All right.
Okay, so
we resolve that one?
Yes.
I would stop after the word eminent domain. Before the word prohibitions,
maybe
period.
Maybe at the end of line two.
Right, make exempted exempt.
And exempted became exempt, and then we're going to stop somewhere.
From the foregoing prohibitions.
Line, use of eminent domain, period.
All right, on the use of eminent domain?
Yeah, you should.
Well, don't you need on the appropriation as well? The use of eminent domain or the appropriation
second,
of money?
After the second use of eminent domain, on the fourth line.
That's right.
Too far.
The striking by the vote of two-thirds of the members of the board. Right.
I would have just said exempt from the foregoing prohibitions, period.
That's fine, too.
That's okay.
You want to add less words? Less words are good.
Prohibitions, period. So strike from on the use of eminent domain. On.
Okay.
All right, the next issue is on page 5. It's the last two issues. And I think that's a legitimate issue, the first one. Why would you give a municipality whose property is not the subject of eminent domain a right to sue for violation of the law?
Okay.
Is there a reason for that that makes sense?
Say that again?
I think the reason...
Just read the first paragraph under issues on page 5.
I did. And I think that the reason this went in originally, I'll give you the original intent way back when, was, if you remember... Mamaroneck and Larchmont were furious about IKEA, and there's nothing they could do. They couldn't even intervene in any way, so that's why we thought we'd give them a local government, and that happens a lot, right? It happened in Tom's district with Yonkers one time, one of their developments, where the local government, the neighbor that was getting all the impact of the eminent domain and the development, couldn't get into the action and do anything.
Had no standing.
No standing to get into the case.
You can say that.
In which the property is located, or a neighboring municipality.
Or adjacent.
Adjacent is probably a better word. Yeah.
Right.
That was the goal, so we can tighten that up.
Local municipal governance geographically located
within the boundaries of which?
Right. Within the boundaries of which?
Well,
the subject property is located, or any adjacent municipality.
That was the goal originally.
Now, if you look at 644.05, then we have two, with changing Westchester County government as defined herein to County of Westchester.
Correct. Including the county executive or any individual member of the Board of Legislature.
Keep
that's
that in?
Getting me a little nervous here.
No, that's the reason for that, and that's the case that Tom and I brought against the county executive.
Right.
Like I said.
Versus Spano.
Misano versus Spano case, it should make you nervous because it's now the law. I mean,
the law was you had standing. That's the
and but the county attorney's office and the lawyers hired by the county said we didn't have standing. What we were doing is in our own law, making sure that thing was not left open for interpretation. Although I think the case law settled because we have an appellate case that says one legislator can bring one of these actions. Doesn't even
That's what Silva versus Pataki said.
That's said too.
Legislator.
Why one would wonder why are the attorneys we paid and the county attorney disagree with that point? It was obvious. We went on appeal, but we won't get into that right now.
The Does anybody think we need to make any changes to this subdivision too?
All Tom was trying to do here, I think, was just state what Misano v. Spano says, which is the law. So, I mean, I don't think it should scare anybody, but if there's a reason not to have it, I don't care. I mean, well, I think the law is pretty clear now. Our case has been cited like five times now, in other cases.
There's another part of this that I have a hard time understanding. Without regard to whether the subject property is located within its borders.
Yeah, I don't know why that says that either.
It refers to one above. It's 64405A1.
So we don't need it anymore because we changed
it. Yeah.
Well, you just want to make sure that what you're trying to do here is make sure. Let's take a circumstance where let's use the circumstance that I had in Greenberg, where the village of Ardsley is not immediately adjacent to the project in Yonkers that was being objected to, and the village of Ardsley was the one that was going to bear all of the pain, because it was at the entrance to the highway that serviced that, which was the next exit down. So what it saw was that all of the traffic was going to converge on that one entrance to the highway. To the thruway, I think it was at that time, because that was where all the traffic was going to go to get to Stu Leonard's. And so they were very upset, and they said, if you're going to do that, well, then you got to consider us in the environmental impact statement. And the others would say, well, no, you're way up there. Why would we care about you? It's the village of Hastings that's at the
journey. Right, so you don't agree with the adjacent.
Well, that's, I have a concern with that, because what you want is not necessarily adjacent, you want impacted.
Probably that's very open
that's
and loose.
A vague term.
I think we should stick with adjacent.
Four towns away.
Yeah, you could bring the lawsuit as the county legislator for that.
I think
that starting with the last clause, starting with the word without regard, those two words,
yeah.
If we're going to go with the adjacent language, we have to take that out.
Right.
Okay, take it out.
And rather than say within the borders of which, I think you should say within whose borders.
We're dropping it, so.
Sure.
We're dropping the whole thing. We have adjacent and above.
Within whose
borders the subject property is located or any adjacent municipality.
It's gone.
So after one, local municipal governments geographically located. Well, I don't know why we need that, but...
Well, you don't want the Bronx to be able to sue.
Yeah, but if you say within whose borders the subject property is located, you're automatically in Washington.
No, but if you say but adjacent, then you're giving the Bronx the chance to sue.
And any adjacent municipality.
We only want to be able to...
Okay.
Somebody says, what's wrong with that? The city of New York is powerful enough. They don't.
John, can you read what we have now for this? How is the read right now?
We're saying adjacent because more likely
the impact
adjacent community has the impact.
Yeah.
Except if you do something on subject property that affects water and it bypasses seven other towns and then destroys the floodplain in the eighth town.
Or any adjacent.
That was my argument.
Okay. Good. That sounds good.
I mean, there are
Bill is just making a point. Like, if there, you could have an impact downstream.
See, we selected adjacent. That's survived so far in the conversation because the thinking is, well, we don't want you to do something right here at the boundary because it affects the people in the town who are right next door. They're adjacent to the action. But what if the subject property is in a place and you mess with it and it has to do with water flow, and it bypasses seven communities, and in the eighth community, it completely destroys a floodplain for forever. Every single time something happens.
But eminent domain is involved somehow.
Right, I understand your point.
And so now,
that community was not
adjacent at all, but it's an impacted community.
The problem is how you define the word impacting for the purpose of this law. That's the problem.
Yeah, you do that, yeah.
But that may be an issue that they could raise under... through the secret process.
Then suppose the secret process does not take that into account.
Right, right.
I think Bill raises a great point. I just don't know how we could do it in this paragraph.
How can you intervene?
Yeah, because if it's too broad, then you've got...
Impacting, you could go like seven communities away.
Yeah.
And then
correct.
So you're right. You know what it might be? Even though there's a problem showing impact, for the few times that might go, maybe the use of impact is better, and let a court decide whether the community is impacted or not. Because you know what happens? Quite often, if you don't talk to it at all, the old rules have applied. Cities do what they want, towns do what they want, and sometimes, as good neighbors, they decide not to do something that's going to impact the neighbor. Sometimes they say, well, the heck with the neighbor, we're not going to pay attention to what you want. But sometimes they actually make decisions so that their neighbor isn't impacted adversely. maybe when you have a situation where this comes up, and you want to get away from a change in the law that gives an adjacent municipality, a neighboring municipality, whatever it is, any other municipality, maybe you want to just say, you don't automatically have the right to do this. The property isn't located within your boundaries. But if you can show that you are impacted by it, and then let that be decided on
can I, while I would like to see as broad a definition as possible on enforcement, the enforcement issue here is the question of whether it's a permitted use or a prohibited use,
right,
not whether it's good for the community.
Right.
And that's I think that community would still have
public
a right
perception.
To sue under the
because
their issue would be whether the condemnation was appropriate,
right,
not whether it's a permitted or
that's more of a
very narrow. This is a very narrow.
Yeah, I don't want to leave too much.
Let's just make this an eminent domain law.
Right.
Your law is like a broader.
You're right.
It's a more important issue.
No.
Yes,
I'm just
right.
thinking of practical. Why do people do what they do?
Right.
Why have we
right.
watched them over the years do what they do? Are we done?
Yeah. Next
well,
issue.
Bill, the other thing is we're taking up several pieces of flood legislation. We could address your concern.
I think
that's
it. I think
absolutely.
Legal
I think that's a very good.
I think we should definitely deal with that issue.
I think
so. Raised.
Let's just,
all right.
We're going to do that in an hour. So that's the next subject.
One that's raised by the county attorney.
I think that's a very good point.
The what form of adjunctive relief is offered? Is it interfering with or inconsistent with the EDPL? I don't think so, because I think, again, it's dealing with this threshold issue. But
yeah, it's dealing with whether or not we should go forward. I mean, it's
John,
yes, sir.
I mean, I guess all legal issues are important. They're starting with the Supreme Court decision, I've read references to 20 states have taken action since the Supreme Court, so clearly some states, and I think the court decision almost
encourages people to
encourages,
go out and set up your own definition.
Right, so there are clearly some steps that can be taken. Now, I guess, are we looking at what New York state law already is, and we're being more confined by current state law as
yes.
opposed to the Supreme Court?
The New York state didn't have the eminent domain procedure law. We've been having a lot more fun with this law.
Okay, so our concern is not so much with the Supreme Court decision, it's
yes.
trying to work under the New York state law.
Yes.
It's trying to work under our charter, and how do we
monitor
our charter
and
to see who's going to make the
all
decisions
right.
here?
So that was resolved?
Well, I guess the question is the injunctive relief language. Where is it again?
The last.
It's B, 644.05B.
644.05B. And I think we just.
What's wrong with it? What's the problem with it?
I didn't have a problem with it. Can the county attorney tell us why you have a problem with what you think, or you have a suggested change, or what is...
Well, first of all, it is injunctive relief. It doesn't provide what. And the EDPL is, of course, limited to what injunctive relief can be available. This doesn't have any...
No, but we're not dealing with condemnation. We're dealing here with... In other words, if the county executive's got a source of money coming through, and he decides he's going to give it to a project that's doing eminent domain... Well, clearly, the injunctive relief at that point would be to stop him from doing it until you have a chance to have a hearing. And then in the process, by then, the Board of Legislators may very well have acted.
The injunctive relief is limited in this paragraph to this local law.
Exactly. And it might very well turn out that once there's an injunctive relief, that the whole thing gets resolved, because now the Board of Legislators knows about it. And so we act and say, yes, you can do that, or no, you can't do that. I mean, we've had that situation where the county executive will go to the ANC, do what he wants to do, and by the time we get around to doing anything about it, it's too late.
The one word I would strike in that paragraph is the word, when you have legal costs, as you know, it's usually read everywhere, and attorney's fees, comma, costs and disbursements. I'm not quite sure we have the word legal in there.
Right, just costs right. and disbursements. I'll take out legal.
Well, Tommy, what you're describing is a situation that's still, I mean, we wouldn't tolerate, against our will or without our knowledge, an executive goes to ANC and somehow, or very easily, pulls off a vote where
right.
we accept funds from a source outside of Westchester, and that office decides to do what it wants with the money.
Okay. This now gives us the standing to go to court
exactly,
and get adjunctive relief which, against that until
exactly.
we have a chance to rule.
And I think we need that. As long
that's
as
right.
we're on the bad end of a 2-1 vote
exactly.
on ANC,
ANC
you always
is the
need
next
that.
Issue for consideration.
Right.
An upcoming issue.
I got that up. All right. That's fine with me.
All right. So we talked about these changes. We make the changes. what's this timetable? I'm not sure.
We got to put it out today. So
I would like to. I would like to move the legislation as is.
Well, other discussion.
Oh, I thought around. I
can hold back if you'd like.
Yeah, I mean, I know we've gone through the.
We can debate. Well, if I move it, we can still debate it.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean,
move it. I'll second this.
But I'm moving it. He's second. It's on the committee.
With the changes.
With the changes as we just made.
Discussion.
Yes.
And Mr. Chairman. And again. You know, coming back to the law, and some of this may have been discussed in prior meetings, but coming back to the definition of prohibited use, yeah. Where, you know, that prohibited use shall include, so when it says shall include development projects for retail, commercial, industrial, resident facilities, so all those are prohibited uses. You know, without getting picky again, but suppose, and again, like I think the Keogh case was, the 30 acres building town hall, municipal parks, but part of the deal is, I don't know, an industrial, but you know, if it's 1 acre.
Take a look at the new definition C4.
So
see if that satisfies your concern.
Well, no, it's the portion of a multi-project that's for education. That's allowed. But I'm saying you're buying 28 acres from, you know, it's one parcel. It's 28 acres, and a little piece of it, you know, a small piece was going to be used for one store or one this or one that. I mean, this it's like a blanket. If it's 100 acres and there's going to be one little store on there, then you can't do it. I mean, I guess it's Thomas, to your point, what's the worst case analysis? But I'm just stuck up with the example.
And you can raise that when we do our two-thirds vote, Marty.
But that's a
if
blanket,
it comes up to the board,
it's a blanket.
We still have to vote on this.
Yeah, and it's a blanket.
So raise that issue on the two-thirds vote, and see what your colleagues agree with you.
And then we put the word solely in there. So
well, that's what I'd like to discuss.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to talk about solely.
Well, let me just finish up because let me put on the record. I've been trying to help to make it as good as possible.
We appreciate that, by the way. We really appreciate that. I'm serious. We really greatly.
Correct. And we solved that problem by saying solely.
Well, I say solely, but I guess maybe just goes back to one of the reasons I'm against it. You take Times Square. There's just certain projects that wouldn't have. Just because there's economic development involved, wouldn't have happened. And I guess at the end of the day, I might as well give my basic position is, we're doing this to ourselves. I mean, we're saying we want to stop a municipality, we want to stop the state, but we're saying we're taking this weapon, this bullet, away from us. And my feelings, we're passing laws against ourselves. I'm sort of concerned. I'm assuming 15 years from now, there's another board out there that's going to run wild and do something, and none of us are going to be. We would never do it, but some other board would.
They can repeal this. They'll repeal it.
Conceptually, well, then they right. They want to do it. They'll repeal it, then they'll go do it. So that always makes my point. We're doing this not to anyone else, but to ourselves. And I have a problem with the whole concept.
Can I answer Marty's point?
But I'm trying to help you.
Sure. And then Bill.
Bill, did you want to go? You had your hand up first.
No, go ahead. You work on point.
I understand, Legislator Rogowski. And by the way, I don't know how people are going to vote on this, but those that didn't, they're going to, if you vote no, we appreciate the input, because this is the most amended law I think we've ever had on this board.
Source of income.
No, I think there's more amendments to this over six. Remember, this thing's been amended for 6 years. This is like sausage.
This might be back to the original statute, but.
Yeah, this is like sausage at this point.
I told Bill, I'm trying to find a law I can vote for.
we, Tom and I brought this issue, and a lot of legislators. I mean, if you remember, the first proposal that was ever, when this law first came, was by 9 legislators bipartisanly. It was many of the Republicans. Legislator Clinton Young was involved in this. Legislator Lois Bronze was an original supporter of this concept. Lois and I together fought the IKEA project in New Rochelle because for the very reasons we were putting this law into place, is the way they would destroy the neighborhood of small businesses and homes and churches. And Lois and I fought that together in New Rochelle. That's when Lois and I got Tom on board for this original law. And it's a very simple principle this law is to do. We believe, those who are proposing this law to this very day, and some don't agree with this here, and that's cool. I mean, that's why we have policy debates. But we believe that the taking of private property for private use is outside the allowable scope for eminent domain in this county, in our minds. We think that we ought to set a standard for Westchester County. And I don't want to do a hodgepodge going forward, Marty. That's the point. I want to set a policy for Westchester County, for the whole world to know what our policy is. This county government does not get engaged in either condemning or giving monies to projects that take private property for private use. That has been the goal, and it's never changed. I've never wavered on this. I feel it passionately to my bone. That taking private property from somebody, a small business person, a homeowner, a church, which I've now seen in several places in Westchester County over the last 20 years since I've been a legislator, taking their property for private use, shopping malls, condos, all this stuff, is improper, and we should not be doing that as a county government. So we tried to bring a narrowly tailored law to set that as the principle of Westchester. And the reason, Marty, I don't agree with your point, although I respect it, is I don't want this to be a hodgepodge where every time it comes up, we're going to try to help the legislator individual district because now they're fighting for their district. I want this to be the law of the land in Westchester County. We're setting a principle. We're laying it out. This is it. This county government does not support taking private property for private use, and the way we're going to do that is we're not going to do it as a county government, and we're not going to fund it as a county government. And I think the law, as amended over 6 years, does that. I don't want to lead. I don't think we're amending ourselves, as you said. I think we're setting the law of the land. All developers now should know, going forward, that this is not something the Westchester County government is going to engage in.
But if I can, Mr. Chairman, to be very narrow, because take my municipality, Portchester, right or wrong, my local government decided to do this. And I could argue 50 years later the blight was gone, but, you know, they're the local government for their business. They did it. You guys passed the lease. The county got involved to assist through that back door. But they felt for their economic development, whatever their reasons were, blight, whatever, they wanted to redo downtown Portchester. It was their municipal local decision, 99%. Maybe the developer could have gotten another partner, extra money, but the county stepped in. Now, I guess what you're saying is that project just wouldn't have happened. If the county had to step in, that project would not have happened if this law was on the books.
Well, not really. Because remember, all we did in that project was we gave them that walkway.
That was $16 million. That was a $16 million they're missing.
Well, they would have somewhere else. Let the developer put the money in and raise the money or do four more bonds. We're not saying the local government can't do their project. Just don't come to us for money.
Well, but
that's what we're saying.
But that's the issue.
Well, then make them do their own projects.
We're saying we don't want to get involved.
Yes.
But also, we don't want to help municipalities. So is it the 2 hours of the county planning staff time?
No, we don't care about
that. No, so I'm saying that's okay. But now to assist. Like the portrait, you know, to some backdoor way, if you will, some other way to get money. That's where you're drawing the line. Staff time is okay, but
only because you want it to be staffed up.
Leasing a boardwalk is not okay. I'm just trying to say, big picture, it's the municipal
the county government appropriating monies to invest tax dollars
in a local project.
Into a local project to take private property for private use. We think it's improper. Okay. We want that to be the law of the land in Westchester County.
Okay.
But by the way, let's state for the record, these local governments want to do their project, go do it.
We're not
stopping you from doing your project. We're just not going to put money into it. Go do it.
Philosophical fault lines have been drawn.
Yes.
So
good luck. Best of luck to you. I hope it works out for you. I don't agree with what you're doing. I'm not going to allow my county government to be involved in it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The matter of Soli, in 644.03, C, third line from the bottom, apparently the line is against purposes. The public benefits of Soli economic development, including an increase in tax base, tax revenue, employment, and or general economic health, shall not constitute permitted use. To me, this is where I have to get off the line. I have in my community a situation which very much used the local eminent domain process to accomplish exactly this goal. As it turns out, county government was not involved except, I think, very indirectly in that there was a CDBG project for a sidewalk, and incidentally a gas main was extended to get to the county wastewater treatment plant, which was beyond this, went from the point to the wastewater treatment plant in front of this property, and therefore would be tap onable to. It seems to me that this kills the ability of local governments to do what they, in their wisdom, choose to do, if it in any way involves a county benefit directly or indirectly. And I guess I've come from home, I guess I've been around home rule too long, to believe that there is no value to the decision making of the local government. I believe in that. I don't believe in them running amok, and I frankly have been appalled since I've gotten here to see how much damage can be done by somebody upstream to somebody downstream, and I don't think I was aware of that nearly as much as I am now. But in this point, and in using this instance as the peg on which I'm going to hang my vote, I can't support this for that reason. And I doubt seriously if you'll strike that point, but I'm not altogether sure that would even change the vote, because I see what the intent is, and I can't support it.
Okay. I thought you wanted the word solely.
No, I didn't. When did I say that?
Well, the point here is saying that if it's only for economic development,
right,
then we're not going to, that's the point Jim just made.
Right.
And so we put the word in there to say that if there's a mixed-use project, then it's okay.
And I don't know why I would have...
That doesn't matter to you.
No, it seems to me that any project... Again, it's not so much what the project is, it's the decision-making process by the local government.
But the local government can do without us.
But not if there's a benefit from the county, and that's what you're stopping.
Well, I was going to make that point, and it goes to Jim's very eloquent summation of this, is this doesn't stop the local governments from doing anything. It's just saying that we, as a county, are not going to support taking private property for private gain. That, I think that's all we're saying here. And the local municipalities are still free to do whatever they want to do. And in fact, I think this is an expression of our support of home rule, which is why I'm signing on to this, because it's not impacting the municipalities in any way, shape, or form. We're still honoring their local zoning, their local planning, you know, their local process. We're just saying that we as a county are not going to be part of taking a private property for private gain.
Okay. So anyone else want to speak on this, on the general issue, since we've been through the details?
I just want to say I appreciate everybody's work. This has been a long time. Particularly Legislator Rogowski and Burton both said they may not vote for this. I appreciate all your input. I mean, you guys have participated in every phase of the journey. You've made the law better. That's good legislating. And regardless how you vote, you may have a policy difference. I appreciate your input.
Okay. So your motion to put this out for all purposes?
Yes.
All right. We'll vote on it. If the vote passes, we have to discuss the timetable.
Okay.
I'm not sure I understand how this could be put on so quickly. But
okay.
So let's take a vote. All in favor of the law as amended based upon our discussions today to be put out for all purposes?
Aye.
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 Okay, so it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 4, 6 ayes. Nay? 2 nays. Okay, 6-2. So it goes out. Now, what's the timetable? If we're going to put this on, you have to be a notice of the public hearing.
I think we're going to have to talk to the county, the chairman of the board, to see if we can get a public hearing in between.
We have to have a special meeting.
Special
for the public
meeting.
Hearing.
What's the deadline? Beginning of August?
Yeah.
Well, we meet August 4th. Is that too
late?
Oh, the 9th. The 9th. So the 9th is too late.
This has to be signed by August 3rd.
By when?
August 3rd.
We got to deal with the county executive's office, what they're doing, too.
Linda Bonner, and the reason for that is what?
It's a referendum.
45 days. It's a
referendum.
It's in November.
Why does it have to be?
So we voted it out for all purposes. Now we can deal with our chair to work out the timing on it.
September, October.
It was 45 days.
45 days.
So how do we get to the 3rd?
It has to be approved by local law. It has to be approved 90 days before.
The
general election.
Oh, it's 90 days.
Before the general election.
By local
90
law.
Days.
By 209-161 of the laws of Westchester County.
Let's change the law.
Well, one thing we could do,
make it 89
we can
days.
Get
so
the
get
final
it.
Version of the legislation done by next Monday. Right?
Yeah. We have to set a public hearing.
A lot is done today.
But we have to set a public hearing. We can't do that without...
We'll do that on Monday, and we'll deal with it then. When the public hearing will be. If there has to be a special meeting, we'll do it then.
You have to talk to the chair about scheduling a special meeting.
Okay.
It should be an evening.
I agree. Thank you.
All right, wait, we have to...
I have a set of minutes.
We have to vote on some minutes, and I have one more item. Okay, the minutes, do I have a
so
vote
moved.
On the minutes?
So moved.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Okay, and then finally, before we adjourn, again, this is a...
Right.
This is a controversial issue. One more item before we adjourn. I sent a email, a memo, I didn't share it with the rest of the committee, but I want the committee to see it. I sent it to Mayor Rogowski as chair of the Public Safety Committee. Based upon the recent Supreme Court decision in Otis v. City of Chicago and the prior decision in Heller v.
District of Columbia, I have serious doubts as to the constitutionality of our Westchester County gun inspection, gun safety.
Safe storage law.
I have
Bill Ryan and Tom Nine all worked on that hard together.
Safe storage law, I think, is okay.
We worked hard on that law. Boy, that was another sausage.
I'm not sure it's okay.
But really? Safe storage law that tells people they have to safely store their guns?
Right. That's right.
I'd like to see the United States Supreme Court tell us we can't do that.
Look at Heller v. District of Columbia, which invalidated the storage law of the District of Columbia. Now, that came out 3 years ago and wasn't necessarily applicable to the states, but now the Supreme Court has ruled that the Second Amendment is applicable.
You may be right, guy. When I read
we need to look at
when I read the coverage in the paper, it's an interesting point.
We need to look at it. Not, you know, I just think the rule of law is the rule of law.
No, I'm with you. It's an interesting point. We should
I know
look
you
at
worked
it.
On it, but it's a real question.
I like that law.
The other issue is it may be okay facially, but as applied, where they inspect people's homes based upon a judge writing a letter saying, by the way, I'd like you to go look at this person's house and see how they store their guns. Maybe it's unconstitutional as applied by this county.
Chair, Mr. Chair, just so you know, for background, for the legislators who weren't here at the time, it was actually a good moment for bipartisan and checks and balances. The county executive opposed the law that the legislators all disagree with bipartisanly. The county executive wanted a trigger lock law, and when we did our due diligence as a committee, we realized that trigger locks are not the best way to store a weapon. That, you know, safe storage was a better way. You put it in a safe, you chain it, is better than a trigger lock. So we actually went against the county executive as a board. And I think it might have been even a unanimous vote where we redid the law. All of Bill was involved in, and Tom, and we rewrote that law. It's interesting. It was a good moment for our board. So if we could save that law, let's try to do it, because it was a good moment for this board. We bipartisanly did checks and balances on the county executive we thought was being a little political with his version of the law.
No one's challenged our law.
It was also done in conjunction with the gun owners.
Yeah, they we actually put everybody on, got everybody
they
on
the agreed board. To the law.
But I think what John is saying is now in the relight, in the that judges are just saying, oh, to this one, oh, go take a look and see if he's got it stored. It's in the application. It's not
maybe
in the law
the
itself.
I think what they're doing, and we probably could look into this
more
carefully.
Letters. We got copies of letters.
Is that where there's multiple guns?
We should circulate those to the
judges are concerned about the safe storage of the guns.
Right. Well, we had the Deputy Commissioner of Public Safety, and basically it was varying from judge to judge to judge. So to John's point, it has to do with how we're almost haphazardly enforcing this. I mean,
John,
I fully support the guns.
Aren't these warrantless entries?
That's another issue.
It's not the law, it's the application.
But to look at it.
That's the issue.
I don't know. Let's look at the law.
Move to adjourn?
Yeah, that, Marty, thank you very much.
I think they're occurring only when there's an application for a new gun, right?
Yeah.
Only when there's
a permit.
So the judge is saying, I want to make sure you're following the law before I give you another permit.
Why don't we just meet in the library?
Whoever you want.
Yeah.
So it's at that point that he's saying, I want to see if this guy's...
In other words, the permit comes due, okay? Or the guy's coming in for his sixth gun. And the judge is saying, well, are you following the safe storage law? You've got all these guns. How are you storing them? You must have a hell of a big safe to have all these guns. So then dispatches the police to go in and make sure he's following the law.
But he's not passed us.
You know the guy should be able to say, I'll tell you what, I got six guns, I got eight guns.
The judge is doing it.
It really is none of your fault.
What would be the difficulty?
The law says I'm supposed to safe store them.
I'm sorry.
Remember why we did that?
Judge is
concerned
because there's a point where...